Chapter 46. Hudson adjusted the clarity of the image and nodded a greeting at the face staring back. Eli, I have someone who has asked to talk to you.
Always happy to see a new face, Steinmetz replied cheerfully.
Another man took Hudson's place beneath the video camera and monitor. He gazed in fascination for a few moments before speaking.
Are you really on the moon? He asked finally.
Showtime, Steinmetz said with an agreeable smile. He moved off-screen and lifted the portable camera from its tripod and panned it through a quartz window at the lunar landscape.
Sorry, I can't show you Earth, but we're on the wrong side of the ball.
I believe you. Steinmetz replaced the camera and moved in front of it again. He leaned forward and stared into his monitor. His smile slowly faded and his eyes took on a questioning look.
Are you who I think you are?
Do you recognize me?
You look and sound like the president.
It was the president's turn to smile.
I wasn't sure you were aware, knowing that I was a senator when you left Earth, and newspapers aren't delivered in your neighborhood. When the moon's orbit around the Earth is in the proper position, we can tap into most communication satellites. During the crew's last rest break, they watched the latest Paul Newman movie on home box office. We also devour the cable news network programs like Starving Dogs.
The Jersey colony is an incredible achievement. A grateful nation will forever be in your debt.
Thank you, Mr. President, though it comes as a surprise that Leo jumped the gun and announced the success of the project before our return to Earth. That wasn't part of the plan.
There has been no public announcement, said the president, becoming serious. Next to you and your colony people, I am the only one outside the inner core who is aware of your existence, except maybe the Russians. Steinmetz stared at him across 240,000 miles of space.
How could they know about the Jersey colony?
The president paused to look at Hudson, who was standing out of camera range. Hudson shook his head.
The Salinas lunar photo probes, answered the president, omitting any reference to their being manned. One managed to send its data back to the Soviet Union. We think it showed the Jersey colony. We also have reason to believe the Russians suspect you destroyed the probes from the lunar surface.
An uneasy apprehension showed in Steinmetz's eyes.
You think they plan to attack us, is that it?
Yes, Eli, I do, said the president. Salinas 8, the Soviet lunar station, entered orbit around the moon 3 hours ago. NASA computers project it to pass up a safe landing site on the face and come down on the dark side in your block of the neighborhood. A risky gamble unless they have a definite objective.
The Jersey colony.
Their lunar landing vehicle holds 7 men, the president continued. The craft requires 2 pilot engineers to direct its flight. That leaves 5 for combat.
There are 10 of us, said Steinmetz.
2 to 1, not bad odds.
Except they'll have firepower and training on their side.
These men will be the deadliest team the Russians can field.
You paint a grim picture, Mr. President. What would you have us do?
You've accomplished far more than any of us had any right to expect. But the deck is stacked against you. Destroy the colony and get out before there's any bloodshed. I want you and your people safely back on Earth to receive the honors you deserve.
I don't think you quite realize what we've busted our asses to build here.
Whatever you've done isn't worth your lives.
We've all lived with death for 6 years, said Steinmetz slowly. A few more hours won't matter.
Don't throw it all away on an impossible fight, the president argued.
Sorry, Mr. President, but you're talking to a man who lost his daddy at a little sand spit called Wake Island. I'll put it to a vote, but I already know the outcome. The other guys won't cut and run any more than I will. We'll stay and fight.
The president felt proud and defeated at the same time.
What weapons do you have? He asked wearily. Our arsenal consists of 1 used rocket launcher, which is down to its last shell, an M14 national match rifle, and a .22 caliber target pistol. We brought them for a series of gravity experiments. You're outclassed, Eli, the president said miserably. Can't you realize that?
No, sir. I refuse to quit on a technicality.
What technicality?
The Russians are the visitors.
So what?
That makes us the home team, said Steinmetz slyly. And the home team always has the advantage.
They've landed, exclaimed Sergei Kornilov, smashing a fist into one hand. Selenos 8 is on the moon. Below the VIP observation room on the floor of the Soviet Mission Control Center, the engineers and space scientists burst into wild cheering and applause. President Antonov held up a glass of champagne. To the glory of the Soviet Union and the party. The toast was repeated by the Kremlin officials and high-ranking military officers crowded in the room.
To our first stepping stone on our quest of Mars, toasted General Yasenin.
Hear, hear, replied a chorus of deep voices. To Mars. Antonov set his empty glass on a tray and turned to Yasenin, his face abruptly serious.
How soon before Major Luchenko makes contact with the moon base, he asked.
Allowing for time to secure the spacecraft systems, make a reconnaissance of the terrain, and position his men for the assault, I would say 4 hours.
How far away is the landing site?
Selenos 8 was programmed to touch down behind a low range of hills less than 3 kilometers from where Selenos 4 detected the astronauts, answered the general.
That seems quite close, said Antonov.
If the Americans tracked our descent, Luchenko has lost all opportunity for surprise.
There is little doubt they have realized what we are up to.
You're not concerned?
Our advantage lies in Luchenko's experience and superior firepower, Comrade President.
Yasenin's face wore the expression of a boxing manager who had just sent his fighter into the ring against a one-armed man.
The Americans are faced with a no-win situation.